Hello, my name is Julia Sizer. Welcome to Self-Care for Teachers, a weekly motivation, refresher, and reminder of why we became teachers in the first place and how valuable we are in order to be our best for our students, our families, and ourselves. In this week's episode, I will be presenting Part 1, Conquering Anxiety in Today's Classroom for Students and Teachers. I had the privilege of presenting this topic at an in-service last summer and feel it is relevant during this time of COVID. The following strategies may be implemented in a virtual or classroom setting. If your classroom is virtual, the student's family may already be aware of their child's needs and have already made the appropriate accommodations. This is where communication is key. But no matter where your students are learning, I believe we can all agree that today's atmosphere is riddled with anxiety. Anxiety. Just hearing or seeing that word can conjure up feelings of stress, fear, frustration, and confusion. Speaking from my own experience, anxiety was not my best friend, but a relentless, ever-present, unwelcome companion in my life. I was raised in a loving home, but a stressful household, if that makes sense. I was surrounded by worriers and perfectionists, and through no fault of their own, I too followed suit throughout my childhood and early life, becoming what I was surrounded by. It wasn't until a dangerous bout with anorexia and a series of panic attacks that I recognized the dangers of my behavior. Through prayer, support, self-examination, and research on the topic, I was able to uncover the root of my anxiety and say a slow goodbye to my unwelcome companion. I say slow goodbye because this has been a process. Life brings with it many situations on a daily basis that can give rise to anxiety, but the good news is it can be dealt with and put in its place so that it doesn't run interference in our relationships, our dreams, our goals, and for us, our work as teachers. Because I felt and experienced so much anxiety as a child, I knew that as a teacher, that was the last thing I wanted my students to experience. Not in my classroom. There is nothing that could hinder a student's sense of peace, well-being, and their learning more than anxiety. According to the National Institute of Mental Health, children ages 8 to 15 with anxiety disorders rank at 35% in comparison with other mental health disorders. And according to childmind.org, regular anxiety becomes a disorder when young people have out-of-proportion responses to things most of us cope with easily. The statement is true. I've witnessed it in my own classroom, and I'm sure you have too. I can also add, however, that in my opinion, I don't believe there's anything regular about anxiety. To say so would mean it is tolerated, and anything that is tolerated long enough can end up being a detriment to progress. In the case of our students, it can create a detriment to learning. In order to help our students, it is good to understand why they may be suffering from anxiety. Reasons stated by Dr. Tina Hahn include learned behavior, genetic brain chemistry, a stressful life event or stressful life in general, or something physical. Dr. Hahn goes on to explain by saying the damage that happens to kids from infectious diseases of toxic stress is as severe as the damage from meningitis or polio or pertussis. That is alarming. Not only for kids, but for us as well. This revelation is all the more reason to put into practice the tools and support to cope and conquer, especially in a pandemic environment. Whether we are teaching virtually or face-to-face in the classroom, there are ways to recognize an anxious student. You may observe a student who is withdrawn or a student who is fidgety. There are others who may display repetitive movements associated with OCD behavior. Students may want to leave the classroom or their virtual learning environment due to feeling disoriented, perplexed, bewildered, lost, or insecure. They may complain of a headache, a stomach ache, or other ailment. Or they may display tearful outbursts or acts of aggression. I can say that during my teaching career, I've been witness to all of these, and I'm sure some, if not most of you, have as well. Fortunately, there are things we can do as teachers to support our anxious students in order to facilitate learning and, more importantly, foster their sense of security and well-being. Here are 8 practical ways this can be accomplished. Number 1. If you're in the classroom, sit your anxious student at the end of a row or near a door or window. This allows your student to feel less trapped and more secure and in control of their environment. If anyone has ever suffered from panic and anxiety like I have, then you understand how effective the strategy can be. How many times can I recall feeling trapped in a row of strangers and losing all of my concentration? Until I learned that I was safe, no matter where I was seated, sitting on the end or near a door or window gave me the security necessary to focus. If your classroom is virtual, then, as stated earlier, the student's family may already be aware of this and have made accommodations for their child. Number 2. And I preface this one by saying you have to know your student before employing the strategy, but it is effective when used thoughtfully. Allow the use of a fidget item, such as a spinner, a stress ball, or stress band. If an anxious, fidgety student has no way to channel their energy, they will not only be distracted from their own learning, but surprisingly, they will increase distractions within the entire classroom. How many of us have a stress ball on our desk, or, being adults, quietly fidget in some way in order to better concentrate and calm down? Number 3, just breathe. I know from experience that when I feel the pressure mounting, it benefits my well-being to, if possible, step away for a moment. Once again, you have to know your students and have your system of management in place before employing this strategy. But allowing for this for an anxious learner will breed security and trust. Number 4, give your anxious student a special job in the classroom for the entire year. One year, I gave one of my students the job of chief office runner. Because the student was able to leave the classroom for a specific purpose, they not only were able to burn off adrenaline, they were able to focus on the task at hand instead of their own anxiety. Let me mention that anxiety is a form of self-centeredness. It is an attempt to control our environment or circumstance the way we feel it should be. When we can focus on something outside of ourselves, especially by doing or serving others, it alleviates the need to control and self-focus. Number 5, create a happy classroom atmosphere. This is a given. We all know how much better and more at peace we feel when we are in a happy atmosphere. This is accomplished by how we arrange and decorate our classroom, in addition to how we cultivate a sense of community, support, and cooperation among our students through positive, open communication and lesson plans that allow for collaboration and teamwork. Number 6, validate your anxious student's feelings. The key is to empower the student, not the anxiety. As with all previous strategies, our aim is not to coddle the anxiety, but to instill and trust security in the student to create a bridge for communication and learning. This is best accomplished when the student feels validated and understood. Number 7, keep calm and teach on. Keep your cool and model calm behavior. Hey, we all have days when we feel frazzled and consumed by our never-ending to-do list. Sometimes certain events or the actions of a student can cause us to feel angry and impatient, and that is okay. But we are adults. We are the professionals, and as teachers, we need to tap into our reservoir of peace, calm, and restraint. John Maxwell said, "We teach what we know, but we reproduce what we are." What we model to our students speaks volumes beyond any curriculum. And for the anxious student, they need the solid, secure leadership that we have the capability of providing. And finally, number 8, be there. Be there for your anxious student. Establish a relationship. Communicate with the parents. Let them know that you are there for them and have their best interest and greatest potential in mind. These are all practical strategies, but it is also a tall order. And as a teacher, to come in and day out from the beginning of the school year until the end, to manage our classrooms and educate our students means that we have to care for ourselves and conquer our own anxiety, especially in the times we are living in today. In our next episode, I will be presenting part 2 of our topic on anxiety and shift the gears towards us and present 8 practical ways to conquer the anxiety among ourselves. I hope you'll join me for that. Thank you for taking the time to listen to this podcast. I would appreciate it if you can leave a rating and or review on iTunes. It really does help my listenership, and I love hearing from teachers to gain insight on what is working for you all and what topics related to teaching and self-care you would like to have presented in future episodes. You may follow me on Instagram at selfcareforteachers_Julia. From there, you will find a direct link to my podcast as well as my email to request a transcript of this podcast or a speaking engagement request. Until next time, this is Self Care for Teachers. We are amazing. We are peaceful teachers.